Hey everyone, welcome to this week's episode of our podcast. It's called Is Breakfast Included? Thanks again for stopping by. On the show this week, I sit down with my good friend and tattoo artist, Wendy Ramirez. Wendy is based out of Austin, Texas. She is the owner of Dovetail Tattoo, both locations. She's been tattooing for over 30 years. She took some time after punishing me with this amazing tattoo of my sweet Cooper to talk to me and tell me a little bit about her story, how she got started, the challenges she faced, what she thinks of the current state of tattooing, and of course, what she likes for breakfast. We had a great conversation. We had a great time hanging out for 4 or 5 hours. Like I said in the interview, you'll hear me say I tried to destroy her tattoo studio, which on accident I did. Anyway, I hope you enjoy it. Let's check it out. Tell everyone who you are.
Wendy Ramirez.
Wendy Ramirez, what do you do?
I'm a tattoo artist.
Based in?
Austin, Texas.
How long have you been tattooing?
Over 30 years.
30 years. Where are you from originally?
Northeast Tennessee.
Northeast Tennessee. Is that where you got started? Is that where you came up?
No. I left Tennessee with my family in 81 to Miami. And that's where I really grew up. And it was Fort Lauderdale Strip. A new shop opened up, owner from New York. So his perspective of hiring a woman was much different than the outlaw biker ran shops of South Florida at the time in the 80s. And so they gave me an apprenticeship based on a portfolio I put together after I had already been tattooing out of the house for a while.
So what made you want to be a tattoo artist? Were you artistic growing up? Did you?
I was in art school getting a degree in advertising design. And I did not like the hardship of what it took to succeed. And that was putting on a suit, carrying around a big portfolio. And photography was hot at the time, but that meant a 35, you know, millimeter camera. And that was a lot for me. I wasn't passionate about photography, but it was a part of my course. And that's what everybody wanted. So I turned 18 and I automatically decided I wanted a tattoo. It was the scene I was in, you know, punk rock, hardcore, and everybody had a tattoo. So in the chair, after struggling in art school and numerous freelance jobs, I looked down at what I knew I was going to do. I was like, this is it. Subculture, rebellion, art. And I just could not get an apprenticeship anywhere. It was shady. And there were no female artists around except for one lady, Nina. And so I just bought some equipment off of some friends of my father, some guys that had a motorcycle shop. They lent me money for everything I needed, and I tattooed them for free until I paid the money back and tattooed all my friends. And by then, yeah, I had that little portfolio to take in.
Yeah. So tattoos are such a, so common now. Everyone has a tattoo. And what you're talking about this time, like it was a subculture, it was this, it was that. A lot of folks don't remember that the only people that had tattoos were the for lack of a better term, the dirt bags, the roughnecks, you know, those people that, you know, you see the common, like the mom or, you know, like. It's come so far. Like, what these, they don't remember that. What's your take on it now, being 30 years in that whole subculture?
I have to say that I'm thankful to all the reality TV shows that helped bring along the normality of it that we have today. Everyone and their mother can get a tattoo now. And, because that's job security. And it's just opening the world up, you know?
Yeah.
But I do miss the taboo of it because it's very diluted now. There's too many of us now. what we used to do was you work at a shop. So you're a collective of artists with guidelines, and you had to go through the motions and the steps to get to be a successful artist.
Yeah.
You worked for it, and the shops survived because these artists are feeding into the shops financially. And now nobody wants to work for someone else. They all are entitled. They want to be their own bosses right off the bat,
yeah,
without enduring the hardships to appreciate it when you get to that point where you can work for yourself. And there's too many people. Half of them suck. And but the general public don't know the difference between a good tattoo and a bad tattoo, so they feed into their egos and they pay them all this high price, you know, $300 for, yeah, a microscopic little thing that's going to fall apart in a few months.
Yeah.
What was the question about it becoming so popular and everything?
Yeah.
There's a good side and a bad side to it. Yeah. I think a good way to control it going off the rails would be to tell the health departments to do their jobs. A lot of people don't even have license, or they don't understand the safety of it. They just open up anywhere, anytime.
Yeah.
And it's a free-for-all.
And you can print out any kind of license online, right?
Well, the problem is nobody's coming around to look at it.
Check it.
Yeah, nobody's checking in the first place. And a lot of people aren't doing their own art. They're just taking it off of digital art and copying it. I mean, you can go down a rabbit hole of,
yeah,
how easy it is to do everything, which is the wrong way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you consider your style? Like, are you more of a custom piece artist, or are you not against somebody coming in and asking for a live, laugh, love? I don't know.
I'm a custom artist. I like to do large compositions, but I do enjoy portraits, which, mm-hmm, you know, how custom are you going to be? I mean, you're copying this image, but I like to put a turn on it. As far as somebody coming in and wanting the Pinterest little tattoo, I don't like that for the reason of it not being theirs. It's been done a million times.
Yeah.
I just like to try and give them options. Ultimately, they're going to do what they want.
Yeah.
But I have respect for simplicity and small tattoos. If you're going to look at it technically,
yeah,
you have much less room to make a mistake. So I don't look down on it technically in any way. But as far as just being custom and, you know, unique, I just don't see why anybody would want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. You were telling me a story earlier about a guy that you tattooed his face,
mm-hmm,
in Florida.
Ronnie.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So do you want that whole story?
Yeah.
Okay. Fort Lauderdale, it's July. I'm working with my friend Dave Poole, and we get a phone call, and this guy's talking about wanting a rainbow on his nose, for example, and then some other crazy ideas. And Dave's like, yeah, right, this is just a prank call. And we're sitting there, nothing to do. And a metro bus has a stop in front of the shop. And this guy gets off in a trench coat and a hat, and he's coming our way. And we know it's real. Here he comes. And he comes in, and he is already tattooed head to toe with ridiculous imagery. On his face, the one that stood out to me was a horse's ass with the flies swarming around. And so my friend did the rainbow on his nose. And Ronnie had a shaking problem. He was mentally ill. He said he lived in a hotel and worked for the government. He had the money for tattoos, and I did a miniature Elvis Presley portrait on his temple, in addition to a supposed girlfriend's portrait on the other temple. And Ronnie would stop all movement when the machine started. All that shaking, the jitters ceased. And he was the sweetest thing in the world. So he was standing out in my mind all these years. He's one of those crazy moments.
Right on. So he wasn't like me earlier, destroying your shop.
No. He was well behaved.
What important things would you tell somebody to consider when getting a first tattoo?
Knowing how it's going to affect your everyday life. Nowadays, we do have a lot of people that have freedom to look the way they want, but unfortunately, those that don't, I am always advising young people, you don't want a hand tattoo, you don't want a neck tattoo, you don't have a career. So you have to think of yourself and your family first. And because you got a whole body to put imagery on, you don't have to go out there, you know, what's first seen. Beyond that, you don't want to go microscopic with a lot of detail, because what happens in the skin is a lot of fine detail will find itself and turn into an unlegible blur. So you want to give it room to grow with you. There are different styles of collectors. You know, some collectors I call stamp collectors, and they like these small images by different artists. And that's a style within itself that can be done well. But then what you're seeing more and more of today are full body suits that are very organic, and they flow with the muscle contour of the body. And that requires you to go large and to open up. So I'm constantly doing that, advising people to open up, crop the image, get the important part of it, and just go as large as possible, because it's permanent no matter what. You know, if you do it 30% smaller to feel good about it today, you're going to wake up tomorrow and go, I should have gone bigger. You know, it's like, well, just go bigger.
Yeah. I interviewed another tattoo artist, Brittany Elliott. You familiar with Brittany?
Mm-hmm.
And she's full body. Like, no one can see what I see. Like, you're full body. What inspired you to go that route?
It's as simple as loving the way it looks. It's just becoming this other version of yourself. And depending on how hardcore you get about it, it's edging on an alien vibe today.
Mm-hmm.
I really love seeing the full body abstract imagery.
Yeah.
But for myself, it was just a gradual thing. You know, I just want more. I want more. It's the addiction of it. And now, I mean, I wish I'd done it years ago, because your skin gets older. It's harder to get quality work. I just want chin down, full coverage.
And no face.
Maybe a little liner dot, you know. Get my eyeliner done. Don't have to worry about that anymore. You get older, you can't put that makeup on anymore.
Right on. How do you feel about names? People come in saying, hey, I want my girl's name. Do you tell them, like,
yeah, don't do it. No, don't do it.
Yeah.
And
I know a lot of guys with lines on their arms.
Yeah.
Because
you're jinxing yourself. Well, half the time it's like, why are you doing this? Are you having to prove something because there's, you know, rough waters at home? You know, why are you doing this? And
is it like pissing on your territory or something like that?
Or trying to prove my love to you, please, you know? So I say, get your child's name, get your mother's name if you need a name.
Yeah.
And then, Brian told me he was getting my name on his neck. And I told him, please don't do that.
Tell him, that's the first thing I saw when I saw him today, by the way, when he sat down.
I was like, I begged him not to do it. Main reason, I don't want people looking at me like, oh, look at that possessive bitch. Look what she made him do.
I wonder what he did.
I told him, don't do it. He's like, tough titty, I'm doing it. And I'm like, well, I'm not getting your name.
Let's talk about where we are, man. Dovetail Tattoo. This is your tattoo shop. You have two locations here in Austin. This one is the only one I've been to, and I love the aesthetic. What got into you to start your own shop, especially in a city full of shops? And what makes you different?
I was in a partnership with a very corrupt, lying thief that I figured out. We figured out, Brian and I, looking at numbers within the first year, exactly what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Walking into the room while he's whispering to somebody about how it's his shop and yada, yada. So we just broke free of that partnership. And I was kind of just in a place, being encouraged by Brian to do our own shop. I didn't want to do it when we first moved here, even though he wanted to, because I didn't want to be that new kid just swooping in, you know, and trying to benefit from it all.
Yeah,
I was still of that old mindset that you have to earn it, you know, gain some respect. So everything was just coming together. It was just fitting right. My friend told me about the space. My husband's encouraging me. I needed to leave my partnership. I had a good artist that I had hired on there that was willing to leave with me. So, yeah, it just worked out.
Yeah. And you told me this story earlier about how you kind of funded it.
Mm-hmm. So when we left Tennessee, my parents and I, my father was out of work at the time, and he was offered a job with Public Storage Mini Warehousing in Miami, and you live on the property, so it was a win-win. And part of the job was to clear out spaces that were abandoned. One of the spaces abandoned by a school teacher, I was in art school at the time, they found a large box of frames. They brought it to me saying, yo, you could probably use these. And I went through and I found a framed letter on NASA stock paper, handwritten by Krista McAuliffe, responding to this school teacher who was writing to her prior to the Challenger going up, telling her how much this means to us. You know, as a school teacher, what you're doing is great. Good luck. And she signed it full name, first, middle, last. And I was just going to keep that and hand it down to through the family for years.
Yeah.
You know? But we ended up auctioning it off for enough money to get going with the shop in addition to bartership. Yeah. So
that's what started it all.
Mm-hmm.
The Challenger going down.
Yeah. Sacrifices.
From the ashes, here comes the Phoenix.
For me, you know, it's necessary.
Right on. And how long have you guys been here in Austin?
2006.
When did you open the second location?
Well, this shop, 2009, second location, 2017, because we outgrew this one.
Okay.
It's tiny.
Mm-hmm. Where was this one initially? This is the original.
This is the original.
And you also tattoo in Tennessee, right?
Yes.
At a shop called?
Apothic. Yeah, owned by Nathan Hill. So I don't know how many years ago, 7, 8 years ago, I needed to get my parents out of the country up there because being elderly, out in the middle of nowhere, it was dangerous. So we bought them a house in town next to the hospital, next to their church, and next to Main Street. And I love Main Street. It's historic. It's got skywalks, all old 1800 buildings, and it was a dead town. It's starting to come up now, and I wanted to be a part of that. So it's walking distance from the house, and I wanted to open a shop. And There was a building there, 20,000 square feet, like four levels, already set up as a restaurant, bar, live venue. Mm-hmm. And so Brian could have his live menu, which I really feel he needs to do in this lifetime. And my cousin did hair. I was going to give her a hair salon. I was going to have the tattoo shop. My friend was going to do the restaurant. And there are two apartments upstairs. And we didn't have enough money in the bank, you know. So what did happen simultaneously is that one of my friends said, I got a friend that's opening a shop. He needs artists and you need a place. So I met this guy and it was magical. So easy. We're on the same page. And I think we made life a little bit easier for each other. And I've been there for a few years. I just go up once a month.
Yeah.
And I've got my space there with him, pay rent. And yeah, he's like family.
Yeah.
Yeah. And oh, the fun thing about that is my cousin bought the hair salon next door. Our friend is currently opening up a sandwich shop, coffee, right across the street. What else? What other coincidence there?
We just need a live music venue.
Well, some New Yorkers just bought up some of those old buildings and they're trying to make it a destination. So it might happen.
Right on.
Yeah,
right on.
Yeah.
Do you still love tattooing?
I do. Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine doing anything else at this point. And it's one of those things where it's gained me great relationships with people. Clients have become family to me. I've tattooed multi-generations within one family. We have a comfortable life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a lot, but I'm enabled to take care of, you know, two households. And if I chose, if I get in the situation doing this, you can go anywhere in the world and experience whatever you want through the tattooing, financially and just artistically and culturally and meeting like-minded people. Lots of times I could either be ill physically, be feeling depressed, and get going on a tattoo and that relationship with who you're working with, and it just all goes away. It's a intense sense of purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Where can people find you online?
I've got Instagram is probably the best, and that's just Wendy Ramirez Tattoo. Wendy, W-E-N-D-I. And we also have Dovetail Tattoo on Instagram. And I have a couple of Facebook pages too.
Yeah.
You know.
What's Brian's Instagram?
Classic Brian 1971.
And they could see his artwork too? Because he just started tattooing.
He's apprenticing doing traditional Americana.
Right on.
Yeah.
And he's right here with us
doing
as well.
Well. Yeah.
Trying to stay silent.
Yeah. Thanks. I know we just spent the whole day you battering me and me destroying your studio here, but thank you. This is my third tattoo.
You're from welcome. You.
And thanks for doing this. I know I've been bothering you about this for about 6-7 months.
Gosh, that's your point of view. I'm honored. I am honored. No, you have no idea who you are. It's like, well, I was missed too much info all day. You know, it's magical that how our lives come full circle and we end up meeting people in positions and with connections that are so meaningful, like stemming from childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thank you to no end for.
And it's all because there's some cat in Nashville now, Mark Weber.
Yeah.
Who Mark, introduced us all, right?
Mark makes it happen.
He does. He's a connector.
He is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our podcast is called Is Breakfast Included? And if we were having breakfast, what would you have?
Old Faithful, we would go to Kirby Lane and I'd have eggs and pancakes.
I had Kirby Lane this morning.
See?
I did. And a sausage and biscuit.
If I were in Tennessee,
Or biscuits and gravy, sorry.
Inevitably, the Waffle House.
The Waffle House.
It's the only place of consistency.
A breakfast and a fight.
Yeah.
Possibly. Anyway, but now we're going to have dinner.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you so much. Thank you for this beautiful piece of art you just put on my arm.
Thank you. I hope it heals well.
My little girl. Brian, it's great to see you. Thanks for sitting in on this. But anyway, thank you again.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Right on, Wendy Ramirez. I told you, man, I had a lot of fun catching up and talking to her. Like I said, outside of her tattooing me, she's a very close friend of mine, her and her husband, Brian Ramirez, who also is a tattoo artist at Dovetail. You can find out more about Wendy. Check out some of her artwork at Wendy Ramirez Tattoo. That's Wendy with an I. And dovetailtattoo.com. Check them out, man. Go see what she's doing. And while you're checking them out, while you're online anyway, go to isbreakfast.com. Follow our site. Follow our Instagram. Follow our YouTube. Subscribe to our podcast station on Spotify, Google Podcast. What's the other one? Apple Podcast. Do all that. Buy a shirt. Thanks again for checking us out. Oh, check out Classic Brian Tattoos as well. That's Wendy's husband. He's a new tattoo artist. He's been apprenticing. He's starting to do it on his own. Check out what he's all about. All right, guys, I am done. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next week.